So this week we continue going on our journey through the Gospel of John. We're doing that throughout this time of Lent. And it's good to remind ourselves again, as we look at John, what he wrote his Gospel to achieve. He said, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John wrote the Gospel so that we might believe and have life in his name. So let's bear that in mind as we go through this passage. We've already used some water this morning. That was for a baptism. Water signifying washing away our sins, cleansing us from the past, and bringing us to new life in Christ. Now we're going to be thinking about living water. And today's story centres around a well. It was known as Jacob's Well. It's situated by the road that goes north from Judea up to Galilee, at a turnoff where the road goes off to Sychar. And this well is still there today. I gather it's a very deep well. And in those days, there'll probably be a rope beside it to enable folk to come and tie their buckets to it and then let it down and to draw water. And in those days, travellers often used to carry leather buckets with them. So when they came to a well, they could draw water that they needed. Jesus and his disciples were travelling along this road. They were going on their way to Galilee. Now, many devout Jews would have gone a different way. They'd have gone on the road which is to the east of the River Jordan to avoid going through the province of Samaria. Because, as John tells us, the Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Now, Samaritans, unlike the Samaritans today, those Samaritans were not people dedicated to helping those who were in distress and in need. But they were descendants of some of the Jews who years before had intermarried with Gentiles. So they were like a mixed race. And the Samaritans and the Jews were really hostile to one another. It was quite dangerous sometimes for Jews to go through the province of Samaria. So not associating with each other is putting it quite mildly. But we're told that Jesus had to go that way. He had to go through Samaria. He purposely went that route, not because it was a shorter one, but because he was going where his Father wanted him to go, because he had a divine mission to accomplish and fulfill. So they went. And we read that about midday, when the sun was high in the sky, it was very hot, Jesus and his disciples came to this well. And Jesus, tired from the journey, sat down by the well while his disciples went off into the town to get some bread. This reminds us of Jesus' humanity, that he got tired, he got weary, just as we do. And as he sat there, this Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. And Jesus started up a conversation with her. Maybe that doesn't sound strange to you, but actually, in fact, it was very surprising indeed. And to understand why, we have to understand the social norms of the day. Firstly, it was usual for women, groups of women, to come together to fetch water from the well, and they would either come early in the morning or later in the evening when the weather was a lot cooler. So it was surprising to find a woman there on her own going to get water at the middle of the day. Presumably, because of her dubious, immoral lifestyle, this unnamed woman didn't feel accepted. She didn't feel included by the other women in the community. So she had come all by herself at the hottest time of day when no one else was likely to be around. The second surprising thing is that Jesus spoke to her at all. Because men did not speak to strange women. It just wasn't done. And rabbis and religious people would normally avoid all female company outside the context of the family. And as a Jew, Jesus certainly wouldn't be expected to strike up a conversation with an unknown Samaritan woman. When the disciples got back later, we're told that they were shocked by Jesus' behavior. Yet Jesus started this conversation. It wasn't the woman. Jesus started the conversation, and he did it simply by asking her for some water. "Will you give me a drink?" The woman could hardly believe it. Not only was Jesus talking to her, he was asking her for a drink from her bucket, a container that would be considered unclean in the eyes of any Jew in those days. Yet he didn't seem to be concerned about that at all, or of the rules and the taboos that would have normally separated Jew from Samaritan, a man from woman. So she replied with astonishment, "You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink?" Jesus replied, If you knew the free gift of God, and if you knew who it was who asked you for a drink, you'd have asked him, and he would have given you living water." He, having asked for a drink, was now offering her water. Not still semi-stagnant water from a deep well, but living, running water, like a water from a stream or from a spring, far more refreshing than any well water would be. And she was totally perplexed by it all. First, he had no bucket to draw the water with. There was no flowing water in the area either. Just that one well, dug all those years ago by the servants of Jacob. So where was he going to get this water? Was he greater than Jacob? Yes, she was perplexed. But she, of course, was talking about physical water, you know, H2O, the stuff you get out of the tap. But Jesus was talking about spiritual life. He was referring to heavenly things. She was thinking about earthly things, practical things. And she just didn't grasp that. And so the conversation continued, with Jesus saying that anyone who drank from Jacob's well would get thirsty again. Well, of course she would. She knew that. She had to come back every day, so did all the women, to draw water day after day. That was their routine. That never satisfied. It didn't last forever. But then he goes on to say, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst again. Instead, it will be like a spring springing up, welling up to eternal life." Still thinking that he was talking about some special sort of drinking water that would save her daily trip to the well, she eagerly asked him to give her some. "Give me some of this water." And Jesus changed the subject and asked her to go off and call her husband and come back. Well, that was a tricky one for her, wasn't it? With her background, we know she'd had 5 husbands and the man she was living with wasn't her husband. So she simply said, "I don't have a husband." And then to her utter amazement, Jesus revealed he knew all about her past, all about her marital ups and downs and her dodgy past. How embarrassing was that? How embarrassing. So she did what we tend to do often when we're embarrassed. She changed the subject. Have you ever done that, I wonder? Religion. That would be a less personal topic. So she introduced questions about the correct place to worship. That was an old debate. They'd been over it many times, Jews and Samaritans. And they'd always had different ideas on the subject. Jews insisted on Jerusalem. The Samaritans insisted on Mount Gerizim. And Jesus was happy to take up her theme, but explain it wasn't the place that mattered, but it was the quality of the worship that was important. God is a spirit, and so worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. Again, she didn't understand. But then she remembered, and she reminded him that one day, when the promised Messiah came along, he would explain it all, he would make it clear. And Jesus says to her, "I who speak to you am he." He is telling her that he is indeed that promised Messiah that she'd heard about. Here in Sychar, isn't it interesting? In Sychar, in Samaria, way away from Jerusalem, away from the Jewish religious leaders, Jesus acknowledged his true and real identity to this Samaritan woman. Yes, Jesus revealed who he was to this unnamed, immoral Samaritan woman. When the disciples returned, she went back to the town, leaving her water jar at the well, and urged everybody to come out and meet Jesus, the man who told her everything that had ever happened in her life. And they came, and they asked him to stay. They were eager to hear. And he stayed with them for 2 days. And we read that many came to believe in him, not because of what the woman had said, although some did for that, but because of what Jesus had said. And it seems that during those 2 days, that woman was received and accepted back and included into the community once again. As readers today, we may smile at that conversation because we can understand and see that Jesus and the woman were talking at cross purposes. She was thinking about physical water and physical thirst, the physical drudgery of going to that well every day. Whereas Jesus was talking about spiritual thirst and spiritual water and spiritual satisfaction and God's gift of eternal life. So let's look again at what Jesus said. He said, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Whoever drinks the water I give him. Just being near water doesn't count. Even washing our hands in it will not quench our thirst. And so, coming to church, owning a Bible, listening to Christian music, perhaps going around with Christian friends, doing good deeds, or even getting our children baptized, are all well and good. But that's not drinking the living water that Jesus offers to us. Those are outward things. They don't meet the spiritual need that Jesus longs to meet. Drinking is believing. Drinking is receiving God's offer of new life through Jesus. Drinking is taking in what God says and acting on it in our lives, listening to it, hearing it, and obeying it, and then living it out each day in our lives. And as we do that, that gradually changes us. It changes our lives, our attitudes, our behavior. And it brings a deeper satisfaction. It brings a fulfillment that other types of life don't. That is eternal life. I mean, can you imagine a life without wanting and worrying? Can you imagine a life without stress and strain? Can you imagine a life where you're feeling refreshed instead of exhausted? Where you have a feeling of purpose and passion rather than an uncertainty and a sense of loss, and perhaps not much hope for what lies ahead. That's the life that God offers you if you will come to him for this living water. It will not eliminate all difficulties and all troubles and trials, but it will bring a real deep sense of peace and of satisfaction. Whoever drinks the water I give him will receive this life. And indeed, the water I give him will become a spring of water. This is water that comes from God. He gives it. It doesn't come from a tap or a well or even a bottle from the supermarket or anything else that this world can produce. No. It only comes through Jesus. And when we believe in Jesus, when we put our trust in him, we receive his Holy Spirit. He comes and dwells within us. And he's like a fountain or a fresh bubbling spring within us, giving us life and giving us purpose, giving us a love for God and a relationship with him. And as we believe in him, so Jesus has promised to give us this life-giving Holy Spirit. He gives it to anyone, he says, who asks. Ask and you will receive. It's his gift. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to become nearly perfect before we can have it. It's his gift to us as we are, just as he offered it to a woman who was not living a very moral life. His Spirit brings eternal life. Life in all its fullness. Life in a relationship with God that starts now and goes on forever. But a life that can only be found in Jesus. He gives that water. He gives that life. At first, this woman, when she met Jesus, she had no idea who he was. She had no idea about his offer of eternal life. She was just concerned about the ordinary mundane thing, getting water from the well to meet her daily needs. At first, in her ignorance, as she came and before she came, she had just accepted the status quo, the conditions in which she lived. She was content, as it were, to just come every day and get water from the well, even though it was only a temporary satisfaction. She didn't know any better. And I wonder, perhaps there's someone here today who's content with life as it is today. You're content to go on living just in the way you always have done, not knowing really anything different. Perhaps you're content to leave all spiritual things to a later time, to sometime when you're not as busy as you are just at the moment, because a lot of us are very busy people, and life doesn't seem to have many spare spaces and times to think. Perhaps you're busy with all that the world could offer you at this moment. And so you're not actually looking beyond the present, beyond this status quo. You're not looking beyond the material things of this life. You're not looking at the heavenly things and considering them. That woman could have got stuck in the rut of her daily routine and messed up life forever. But Jesus found her. Jesus found her. He went that way specially to meet with her. And having encountered him and recognized him that he was Jesus the Messiah, her life was changed forever. She came to experience the deep and lasting satisfaction of eternal life, the life-giving reality of the Spirit of God within her. And then she went off to tell everybody else. And perhaps you may feel as if you're in a bit of a rut. Life goes on, full of anxieties and stress, work and drudgery. Superficially, all looks good. It appears okay, but deep down, you're not actually at peace. You don't have that assurance about the wonderful life ahead that God offers. You just plod on as the years go by, relying on that well, that temporary well, the status quo, that never fully quenches your thirst, that inner thirst, that deeper thirst, those inner longings. The good news is that Jesus still offers that gift of eternal life today, that living water that fully satisfies all our deepest needs. But will you ask him for it? Will you put your faith in him? The rendezvous that woman had by the well with Jesus changed and transformed her life forever. He took that road to find her and through her reached out to her whole community. Jesus' mission on earth was to come and to seek and to save those who were lost, even if they didn't know it. And she was spiritually lost, and Jesus found her and he met her need and established a new community of believers to encourage her and to support her. And Jesus' mission is still today to seek and to save those that are lost, whether they know it or not. I think this story reminds us that Christianity is not a religion. It's not a set of rules and regulations that we have to observe to please God. It's not a matter of keeping laws and traditions. It's not a question of our outward appearance and practices, of saying all the right things in the right places. Rather, Christians are people who, like the woman, have met with Jesus, who've recognized that he is God's son, he is the Messiah, who've believed in him, who've put their trust in him, and have received new life through him, and begun a relationship with him. And as they do so, they've become part of the community of believers. That's why we encourage you all to join small groups in this church, because it's hard to live a Christian life on your own. We need one another to help us and to encourage us. We need each other. So today, Jesus, God's Son, invites you to have a relationship with him. Maybe you've started out on a relationship and it's got a bit sort of gone downhill a bit, and it needs refreshing. But he wants to have a relationship with each and every one of you. A close relationship. A life-changing relationship. And he invites you to come and to drink his living water. So, will you come or will you go away? The decision is yours.